We're glad that we can be here tonight. We began this morning talking about really a positive attitude. And what we did in the beginning, I placed 10 names on the screen, names that I'm not even sure I can pronounce correctly, but names that are important. And I placed two other names up there, Joshua and Caleb, and so we have 12 names, and those were the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan. And one of the reasons we don't remember much about the 12 spies is what we're told is they were afraid and they didn't think they could do what God said they could do. And they died in the wilderness along with others. Joshua and Caleb lived and were able to go into the land of Canaan. So we began talking about having a positive attitude. And this morning we talked about having a positive attitude concerning the work of the church. And those of us who are members of the church. Realizing our responsibility that God has given us and understanding that we can do what God has instructed us to do. And the fact that we're to have love for one another. And when people see us, they should know that we are the disciples of Christ by the love that we have for one another. What I want to do tonight is I want to look at two other areas. One, I want us to look at the attitude that we should have and the fact that we can have a positive attitude when it comes to trials, temptations, and challenges that we face in life. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and then we'll look at a few other examples just briefly and to see what our attitude should be. Let me just raise this question, and it was answered really in the reading from James chapter 1. Are these good for us or bad for us? When we have trials, when we have temptations, when things challenge us spiritually, are they good for us or are they not good for us? Well, the answer is they're good for us. James says in James chapter 1, first of all, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And you couple that with what is said in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 beginning, Paul says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Paul, why do we glory in tribulations? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so, trials, temptations, when we respond to them properly, and we have to have the right attitude to respond to them properly, they will help us become stronger. They will help us to grow, to be better people as we serve God. Paul's attitude, he expresses in Philippians chapter 4:13, where he just simply says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul went through a lot of things. He went through a lot of hard things. Things that we read about and quite honestly, most of us, perhaps none of us, we have faced what he faced in his life. Let's just consider some things. He mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here's what Paul went through for the cause of Christ. For the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, that's verse 24. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And we could take those and we could talk for a long time, and really we would do well in doing that. Here Paul just enumerates all of these difficulties that he faced. And then he goes on and he says, beside the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And so here he lists all these things that he went through. And then he says, besides the other things, and he talks about his deep concern for the churches. Well, Paul, what did you do? Did you just... If Paul had quit, if Paul had just given up, we might say, well, you know, I could understand that. Well, Paul wouldn't understand that, and the Lord wouldn't understand that. Paul says, and again, you see his attitude in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He describes, for our light affliction. Light affliction? Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's contrasting the affliction which was light with the glory and the weight of glory. The affliction which was but for a moment, but the weight of glory is eternal. How could he look at that and see that? Well, his attitude was he understood who he was serving, why he was serving him, what his goal was, and he was not going to allow anything to stand in his way from reaching his goal. I want you to look at what I have on the screen if you can see it. If blank happened to me, I could not bear it. I've heard people say, well, you know, if that happened, I just don't think I could handle it. With God's help and with the right attitude, whatever comes in life, with God's help, I can handle it. I don't say that in a boastful way. I don't say that from the standpoint of, well, just throw at me whatever you want to throw at me, because I can handle it, I know I can. But the truth is, I can handle it, and you can too. If, and Brett made the point before we led one of the songs, and I'll be saying this as well tonight, if we have trust in God. What we saw this morning was, Joshua and Caleb, they trusted God. They had confidence in God. The Apostle Paul, he put his trust in God, in the gospel that he was teaching. And we must trust in God. We can face whatever life deals to us and be faithful to God. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Here Paul just says that no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What that passage says is that there will not be a temptation that we face in life that we cannot bear. God will help us. He is faithful. Now, we need to be looking for the way of escape oftentimes when we are faced with trials and temptations. But God will help us. We will not be tempted above we are able. I'm just going to briefly go through a few people. And again, each one of these could be a lesson in and of themselves. And just think about what their life was like. I think about Joseph. I'm thinking about Joseph in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 37, you read that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Not because he had done, he may have been unwise in some things. He had not done them wrong. They sell him into slavery. In chapter 39, he rises to second in command in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him because he will not do this great wickedness and sin against God. She was trying to get him to commit fornication with her. He refused. He runs out, literally runs out of his coat, leaves his coat there. And she accuses him falsely, and as a result of that, he's thrown into prison. Now, I don't know of anything that indicates to me in the Bible that when Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery and he was carried down into Egypt, that the Lord was saying, now, Joseph, don't you worry about that. This is all going to work out okay. Or whenever he is accused falsely by Potiphar's wife and he's thrown into prison, well, don't worry about that, Joseph. It'll all work out okay. You come to chapter 25 and Joseph's brothers come before him, there's a famine in the land. And Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And what he tells his brothers is, you do not grieve or you do not be angry with yourselves, because God has placed me here, in essence, so you won't starve. Going to be able to preserve your posterity, is the way the New King James Version. What enabled Joseph to continue with all of this going wrong in his life? Obviously, he had faith and trust in God. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, when he was taken into Babylonian captivity and he's asked to eat the same meats and to drink the same drinks that the others, and he says, I do not want to defile myself. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with his wine which he drank. And so he asked that he might eat something else, what he could eat, what he was used to eating. But here he was taken away from his home, into captivity. And we had such wonderful lessons through the first six chapters of Daniel in our meeting. And we see his trust in God, his faithfulness to God. Think about Job. In Job chapter 1, the devil, Satan, comes to God and says, you have a hedge around him. If you'll let me get at him, he won't serve you faithfully. And God said, you do everything, just don't touch him. And what I'm about to reveal, it just happened one after the other after the other. A messenger comes and tells Job, the Sabaeans took your oxen and donkeys and they kill your servants. And as he was speaking, another messenger comes and says, a fire from heaven has come. It's burned up the sheep and your servants. And as he was speaking, another messenger comes and says, the Chaldeans have taken your camels and they killed your servants. And as he was speaking, another messenger, apparently what I understand, this all happened on the same day. He comes and he says, your sons and your daughters, there was a great wind and it blew the house down and it killed them. What would you do if that occurred in your life? I want to tell you what Job did. Verse 20 says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Now that just makes chills come on my body. He falls, and here just one thing after the other, and then it's his chill. And he tears his robe, shaves his head, falls to the ground, and he worships. And verse 21, he says this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How should I respond when things occur or happen in my life? What I need to do is to be thankful to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. How could he do that? He had faith and trust in God. David, it's interesting, though what David did was wrong when he committed fornication with Bathsheba. She has the child. In verse 19 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, it says, when David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Notice what David does. Verse 20, so David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. And his servant said to him, what is this that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know, it's just so interesting to me in each of these situations. Three, I think I'm remembering right of the four that we've read. When calamity came, what they did was they pulled themselves together and they worshiped God. Peter denies the Lord three times in Mark chapter 14. He goes out, he weeps bitterly. And then, a few weeks later, about 50 days later in Acts chapter 2, what we see him doing is preaching the gospel, trying to encourage people to realize that they had crucified the Son of God and that they needed, when they asked, what should we do? He told them to repent and be baptized, everyone. And again, the whole point is this. They did what they did because they trusted in God. They had confidence in God. How can we develop this attitude? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The answer is, the solution is, how do we do it? We must trust in God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 talks about that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now that doesn't say that everything is good. And it doesn't say that all things work together for good for just any and everybody. But it says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. I may not understand when something happens in my life why it's happening. But what I do know is that I have to trust God. And I have to believe and have faith that God will help me come through whatever it is that I'm facing if I trust Him. And it will work for my good. Again, I may not understand it. I'm not sure Job understood how everything was going to work out. Why did he have? He trusted God. We must trust God. In Romans chapter 4, we see the attitude that Abraham had when he was told that he was going to have a child. And here he was when he had a child 100 years old. And not being weak in faith, verse 19 says, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He had faith in God. In Mark chapter 9, here is a father who brings his child, who is possessed with this evil spirit. And the Lord says to him, I can cast out this spirit. And if you believe, and immediately verse 24 says, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now that's where I think I fall. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to totally, completely, wholly trust in you. Do your will. And whatever happens in this life, whatever happens to me, is not important if I'm serving you faithfully. The big problem that we face is the same problem that those other ten spies faced when they went into the land of Canaan. That is fear. Wednesday night, Fred talked from Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua was told, be strong and be courageous. The Lord says, I'll be with you. He's promised to be with us. And we cannot allow fear to control. We have to trust God, have faith in Him, knowing that He is with us and He will see us through. I'm not going to talk much about David and Goliath, but when David defeated Goliath, he defeated him realizing it was God. He didn't fear because God was with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3. Though they were cast into the fire, it was okay. They didn't fear because they knew God was on their side. And they knew God could save them, and He did. But their reply was, if He chooses not to, we still are not going to be disobedient to God. Let's talk about one other area in which we can be positive. In which we should be positive. And that's concerning salvation of myself and the salvation of my family. And what that boils down to, as Joshua states in Joshua chapter 24, really in the latter part of verse 15, but I want to read the entire 15th verse. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it begins with us making that commitment ourselves. What we're going to do is we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to say it this way. We're going to serve the Lord, period. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua is saying to the others that are there, you'll have to make the decision too. And that's what we all have to do. We can be like the world. We can serve the gods of this world. Or we can decide we're going to serve God. But that's where it has to begin. My commitment is serving God. Now, it's interesting, as we read through the Bible, what we find out, Jesus even says that serving Him, that it's not an easy thing. I'm going to say something after this here in just a minute, but I think we have to understand that. We are in a battle. We are in a war for our soul. And if we don't approach it from that standpoint, the devil will defeat us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13, talking about the fact that the way that leads us to eternal life, it is a straight, it's a difficult way. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I tell you, that is a sobering and sometimes a frightening thought for me to think about. Now, I don't take from that means 8 or 10 or 20. I don't know how many will be saved. I know compared to the majority, it will be a minority. It will be few, Jesus says. And the reason is because the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to life. In Luke chapter 13, we are told by Luke in his recordings, Jesus says, strive to enter in through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And that word strive has to do with agonizing, putting forth great effort. But I want to follow it up quickly by saying this, it can be done. Though Jesus says that the way that I am setting before you, the gate is narrow and the way is difficult, it can be done. But the only way it will be done is if we make up our mind. We make our commitment to God. And that commitment has to be greater than any other commitment that we make in life. Any other commitment. It can be done. Here's why I know it can be done. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. If the Lord requires that we be found faithful, what that says to me is I can be faithful. I can be faithful. You can be faithful. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, to the church at Smyrna, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Why would they be given the instructions to be faithful unto death unless they could be faithful unto death? You can be faithful, even in the midst of tribulation, great tribulation. Even with others being killed around us, or even us being killed because of our faith, we can be faithful. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Why do we do what we do? Because we know God. We'll be true to what He has promised. He will be faithful to what He has told us, what He has committed to us. And as Paul comes to the end of his life, he says, "For I am ready already, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the course. I have kept the faith. Excuse me. Let me back up. I have kept the faith. And then he says in verse 8, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul says, there's a crown awaiting me. And the basis on which he says that is the fact that he fought the good fight, he finished the race, he kept the faith. But he says, not only is there a crown of life laid up for me, he says, it's laid up also to all who have loved His appearing. Do we look forward to the Lord's return? If we're faithful to Him. Now, that's not saying we're without sin. We're faithful. When we sin, we acknowledge and we repent and we confess that sin, and we're forgiven as God's children. But we can rest assured there is a crown of life. So the way is difficult, but we can do it. And we can do it even in spite of the wickedness around us. I have listened for many years. People talk about, well, you know, it's just worse on people now, my children now, than it was when I was growing up. Or it's worse now on my grandchildren when I was growing up. That may be true. I'm not here to really to debate that one way or the other. There are different things that our children and grandchildren are exposed to now that I wasn't exposed to. But there was plenty of temptation around when I was growing up. And I know as I read about the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, when I think about the wickedness of man and how great it was and the way it is described, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I don't think we're at that point right now in our society. I don't think. I could be wrong. I don't believe. I'd like to think we have more than 8 souls that are righteous. I believe we do. But even during that time, Noah and his family could serve God. And that tells me I can too. I can serve God faithfully. You can serve Him faithfully as well. And that's what we have to determine to do. And it's our attitude to a great degree that will determine whether or not we serve God as we ought. I want to read again what I read at the end of our lesson this morning. There's little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is positive or negative. Can I do what God asked me to do? I can. I absolutely can. Can I do it on my own? I can't. I absolutely cannot do it on my own. But with the help of God, with His strength, leaning upon Him, trusting in Him, I can. And when I falter, when I sin, He is there to receive me back when I meet His conditions of forgiveness. We must trust in God. And we must develop and maintain this positive can-do attitude. We can serve God and we can serve Him as He would have us to. It'll be a determining factor as to whether we enter the promised land. And the promised land we're looking for is heaven. And may God help us to lean upon Him, to trust in Him as we serve Him. And may we communicate to others that they too can serve God faithfully if they choose to do that. We can serve Him if we choose to. We can serve Him faithfully. And that's the commitment that it takes in pleasing God. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. If there is someone in our audience tonight who in a public way needs to render obedience to the Lord, know that the Lord will help you. We will help you. You trust Him. You lean upon Him. And He will see you through whatever life may put before you. And if we're faithful to Him, and we can be with Him forever in heaven. Let's stand and sing for our encouragement.